You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
You were right, Kate. My sister is gone. There's only Jinx now. I want to tear that laugh from her throat forever. I'm ready.
To return peace to this city, you must declare martial law.
Topside is the real enemy. You have the chance to rally the Undercity together. You're a symbol. What are you planning?
To watch it all burn.
You felt it, haven't you?
The Arcane. He's waking up.
Sometimes taking a leap forward means leaving a few things behind.
This has to end.
Then stop me.
Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion, and I have started off a little bit too high and energetic for this day of days.
Oh, no.
Is this about the time I need to mention to everyone that I have never played League of Legends? So I do not understand anything that has to do with why this character is popular or people connect with it. But that was just from the trailer. It's a happy Tuesday.
Like what?
Today? Yeah. Well, there is a hard thing. Hello, Quinny. Hello, Jill. Hello, Peter. You all look amazing and lovely. And hello to the chat, who is already going off about cancelling the show that we're just talking about, and I am confused as fuck.
Which, yeah. I mean, would be fine if this was, you know, typical Netflix. Yes. If you got one season and then cancelled, that sounds about right. But yeah. This is not what happened with this.
Apparently, I'm not toxic enough to play League of Legends. So. And I'm like, wow, you have not met me online. Like, I will decimate an Xbox 360 COD lobby.
You haven't seen the amount of teabagging he does.
I will 360 no-scope you to death.
And I mean, I'm not talking in video games either.
Jesus. Sorry about that.
What are we talking about? What's the go? What are we doing?
We're not talking about what I know Jill and Peter are desperate to talk about, because...
Look at them.
Yeah.
They're all green as the girls. They're turning pink.
Well, we're going to talk about it next week, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, the LEG biopic prequel, Wicked. Wicked. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, that was a deep cut, wasn't it? That was strange.
I hope all the kids in the chat are keeping up.
All the kids in the chat. They suddenly got grey hairs and they don't know why.
For all the kids in the chat that just got the LEG reference, it's time to take an ibuprofen.
And if you're not in pain, take a preemptive one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, preemptive Advil's where it's at.
Goodness.
So we have sequelitis this week.
Yes. We're specifically talking sequels into TV series, like second seasons.
Yes.
Yep.
Right. Or as they are sometimes called, sophomore seasons.
Oh.
Yes.
As if they don't get cancelled.
Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, can you be a sophomore if you don't finish high school? I suppose technically you can.
I don't know what a sophomore is because I didn't go to school in the United States of America.
But you have experienced American TV for the past God only knows how many years.
The only thing that raised me. Yes, a steady diet of absolutely flawless American television that raised us all absolutely correctly. And if you go back and watch any of those shows, you will find no problems whatsoever.
So true. So quite often TV shows start with a bang. Like first season is absolutely, you know, out of the gate amazing. And everybody's like, holy shit, that was the best thing ever. And we all have TV shows that we know have hit their stride straight out. I mean, most people, you know, big fan of Game of Thrones first season. Reasonably accurate, sure. Yeah. Stranger Things, you know, most people like, fuck yeah, first season of that shit, yeah. That's cool. But then you've got to back it up. And this is where we're at tonight. We're looking at those times where second seasons have come along and, you know, hopefully maintained the rage, as it were. though not always. So we started with Arcane. Now, who here has watched season one of Arcane?
Yes.
Oh, I think I had to. Didn't we talk about it at some point?
Yeah, we did.
Yes.
We reviewed it.
Yeah.
And under duress there.
So 2 years later, I think it is. Is now we've no, it's longer than that, isn't it?
I have no idea. The idea of doing a season a year these days in television land is just weird because I mean, you know, do you do it like they used to do it, which is crush out 26 episodes a season for syndicated television anymore? Nah.
No. And I kind of miss that. Sorry, it's 3 years. It was 2021.
Holy, oh, what?
Yeah. So if you were watching...
2021 was last year, though.
Yeah, that is correct. And 1990 was only 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Exactly. I just put my Hypercolor t-shirt away.
So I must admit, like, I remember watching Arcane, and I'm pretty sure that was in the middle of lockdown stuff. And that was one of those real high points of going, oh, yeah, this beautiful animated series has come out, and sweet, I can watch it. That seems a very long time ago now.
Yeah.
Time is a weird thing. It just keeps happening, and you can't stop it.
Nah. It's funny. I went to go and watch some of Arcane Season 2, and the great thing is it does start with a recap.
Oh, good.
Thank fuck for that.
Yeah, I mean, everything that we're talking about, thank God for recaps.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, like when I went and saw Smile 2. I'll never forgive you for that, Quinny.
Honestly, thought it was going to be fine. Anyway, so yeah, Arcane season one was very much, it was an interesting one because anyone who is a big fan of the League of Legends game, any LOL players here?
No.
Yeah, apparently it was a bit of a surprise to them as well because it wasn't necessarily about the most obvious characters. Okay. It was choosing some lesser known characters and really was all about building the world up. And now with season two, we continue to build the world and we bring in more characters and we spend fuck tons of money to do it. Mm. So probably the biggest discussion point about season two of Arcane is the fact that the budget for this animated series was $250 million.
Oh, my goodness. So does that mean that all of the animators were paid a fair wage?
That's actually it.
Good.
It said
that the combined season one and season two is $250 million.
Okay.
But not just season two.
Right, okay. My apologies then.
But, I mean, does Tencent even have any money? Are they even a company?
Or are they another country of the world? Yes, they do. Yeah, so they're saying that, yes, they had a a higher budget for an animated series than pretty much any other animated series around. But they were saying that part of the point of it was that they were able to put the artists first. They could pay the animators well, they could pay their voice cast well. And I'm guessing that the fact that it's taken 3 years to get here is an indicator that maybe there wasn't as much crunch. Who knows?
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like ethically made animation.
Yeah, yeah. And considering how rare that is in the world these days, as far as I'm aware, there's no AI creation in this, so this is all very much handmade. I mean, it's all CGI, but...
I also love that they did that, because they did do it with a co-production with the French animation company, and as we all know, the French are very normal when it comes to people getting screwed over or business first, aren't they? They don't like a riot or anything, do they? You're going to pay us fairly. No, I don't think we're going to screw you. It's like, okay. We'll set fire to the office. We're fine like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the French, you know, very well known for being quiet, peaceful, not upsetting the apple cart about anything at all.
No. Yeah, anyway, so...
is this worth watching?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you enjoyed the first season, it continues to be stunningly beautiful.
Okay.
Like, that more than anything is what you're going to take away from this, is this is moving artworks. It's beautiful. Everything looks painterly. Everything has been put a huge amount of effort into the animation and everything to try and make it look as gorgeous as possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think people are going to play the games more now that they watch the television show?
I don't think so.
Can I ask the question, knowing only because I've seen many, many people cosplaying it and the fact that you cannot escape the idea of it, has Jinx become kind of like the Wolverine of the Riot Games League of Legends universe now, where it's like, wow, everything's just focused around that character because people have connected to that character, and so that character now becomes the main through line for a lot of people. Instead of, as we all know, the original... number one X-Man is Cyclops. And 100% it is. That's the thing. The movies ruined it. They pushed fucking Wolverine forward. That's not how that should have gone. Cyclops is the king.
I love that Jill's like, no.
And I'm just like, not engaging at all.
You leave James Marsden alone.
He was great in the Sonic movies. Yeah, look, I don't know that it's going to necessarily push people. The thing that I found interesting about it is that it wasn't necessarily even, you know, only gamers could watch it. The first season, I remember watching with my partner and her being as invested in it as her son was. You know, she was, like, really into the characters. Sorry, yeah. Jill, you were going to say something.
I do remember enjoying... the cartoon, and I don't play LOL, and I really don't like MMO games. So, you know, if there's a way to get into it and it's via the animation, then that's like a happy place for me to participate in that.
Yeah. And I mean, Dion, I think your question is Jinx, you know, the breakout character of this? Yes. You've only got to see the amount of cosplay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but like she's on the same level as when Elsa had her time and when L from Death Note had like his time.
Oh my God,
like
the L time.
Yeah, it was L and then it was Harley Quinn and then it was Elsa and now it's Jinx.
Like it's true, isn't it?
Yep. Every 5 years it's a new character.
Cosplayers, I love you, but you're basic bitches.
Oh yeah.
You're basic.
We basic.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm out here working on my Cyclops costume and not getting the respect it deserves.
It's because it doesn't have enough pockets. You need to have, like, small pockets all over you.
I just can't wear the tight lycra. It just doesn't work for me yet.
I don't know, middle-aged Cyclops, you know, the middle-aged spread Cyclops is where it's at.
This is why I always enjoy the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle costumes if I was ever going to do one, because, you know, this is very forgiving.
Yeah. Yeah, easy. I always figured I could probably get away with that because, you know, the shell covers a multitude of sins.
Yeah, look, you know, I will eventually get to checking out the rest of it because the animation looks beautiful and that's kind of what I want to do. And I probably don't want to have to pay attention to who the characters are and all the side characters and things, and that's fine.
To be honest, I don't really remember the story, so I'll just, like, dip back in and see what's happening, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I was very glad of the catch-up, like, previously on Arcane.
Yeah, good. I'm
like, oh, all I could remember is that there's two sisters.
One's remember they were fighting.
Yeah, they were angry. There was a dude who had a bad face, and there was a lot of blue things that exploded. That's pretty much where I was at. I mean, also, let's be fair, it came out in the middle of the pandemic.
Like, yeah, wow.
That is the bad times. There are no memories from those times. Is it a good sequel, second season? Yes. And is it now, the discussion in the chat was, has it been cancelled? No, hasn't been cancelled. It was only ever designed to go for two seasons. So,
okay. Oh, nice. Yeah. All right, good. So I don't have to commit to anything else. I'll watch this and I can be done.
Yeah, absolutely. You can watch it, you're done, everything's fine. Excellent. So it's funny you said about the 26 episode seasons, like the old school TV.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, I've started watching a show because I, you know, apparently don't want to watch Parks and Rec ever.
Fuck you, Quinny.
I've been watching Designated Survivor.
I love that show.
Yeah. And
that was one that I discovered during lockdown.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That would have been great for that. But I was so excited to start a show and be like, yeah, 22 fucking episodes.
Yeah.
This is one of those things.
Kiefer Sutherland doing action shit.
Yeah.
Being adjacent to the president.
Yeah. Well, was
he? Has he played the president?
He is the president, yeah.
No, he becomes the president in the show, but has he played the president before?
He is the Brit Squad.
Yes. I don't know.
I don't know if he's been around. Anyway.
Going back 24. Fuck. Let's bring back 24.
Shouldn't it be 25 by now?
How many hours in
the day? Dion crunches 25 hours a day.
Actually, you know, that would have been amazing. Hard. Is that one season of 24 where they did it over the daylight savings line? And suddenly you get an extra episode.
How have they never thought of that?
Because it's Hollywood and they've run out of ideas.
Yeah, but what I was going to say about it is that I always enjoyed the 24 or 22 episode seasons because, these days we're so unforgiving with our series. You know, you've got 8, maybe 10 episodes, mm-hmm. and everything's got to be a fucking banger. Like, and then, you know, if the second season's a little bit like, oh shit, that's it, cancelled, no new episodes, you're going to get some good, you're going to get some shit. You know, just accept it. And I don't know, I felt like things were a lot more forgiving.
Well, I remember the good old days of watching Supernatural and having 22 episodes in a season to look forward to, and then you'd get midway through and you'd have, like, the absolute batshit crazy episode, and then you go back to the serious stuff.
What are you even talking about? Stargate SG-1.
Oh, yes!
Do you want 3 months off? Let's try that. And associated spin-offs that went around.
Yeah. I also love that kind of shows because, like, I became very aware of, like, the TV structure. So I knew when in America it was the end of – it was heading into sweeps. So this was the point where they were going to have a big double episode and a big fucking cliffhanger in the middle of the season because they wanted to make sure people were still fucking watching.
Yeah, because they broke for, like, Thanksgiving and Christmas and you had to make sure to come back in the new year.
Yeah, you had to leave on a big enough fucking cliffhanger that people would come back.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like the model has just gotten totally flipped on its end, and now they're trying to rein it back into the same kind of way. Can't wait for more ads in my cliffhanger episode of the series that will be coming out soon from the makers of Game of Thrones-a-stan.
Yeah. Actually, I did see an interesting article the other day. Sorry, I know we're meant to be talking about TV shows, but and we will move on, I promise. The article was about how successful season, like the half seasons are for streamers. So,
okay.
Like they're looking at the retention for seasons that, you know, are full binge for the whole season, or half of the season, then a break, and then the other half of the season.
Okay. And
yeah, turns out they really don't work very well.
Doing
the break does not work well. They lose a lot of numbers.
Oh, they lose me.
I wonder why.
Yeah. But the thing is, it does keep people invested longer in, so the people who do stick harder. And the ones that do seem to work reasonably well are the week to weeks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all of this stuff where we're having to relearn what TV works like. Anyway, what's the next show?
Speaking of getting out of your comfort zones, let's go to the next trailer.
What's the big question?
What if everything you know to be true was just one big lie?
For as long as we can remember, everyone that goes outside is killed by the dangerous toxins of an unsafe world. Juliet Nichols asked to go out. She was a fighter.
Warning, oxygen levels low.
But she died a hero to the silo!
She might be out there somewhere, still alive.
The lies have to stop.
People are saying it's time for a rebellion.
You can't control what she means to people.
I need to know what happened here. For my friends, my family. All we're trying to do is survive.
Nothing's gonna stop me from trying.
No!
You're frightened.
I'm not afraid of the rebellion. I'm more afraid of what she saw.
That's what we're talking about, the second season of Silo, and it will always break me just a little bit to see that it, you know, super come up at the end of that going Academy Award winner Common. But kudos to all of that. It's just I forget about those things. I'm like, all right, okay. I know a bunch of people are going to be like, wait, what?
Yeah, I literally kind of forgot what Silo was all about besides people living in a bunker a la Fallout that we also watched this year. So I was like, why do I want to watch the second season?
What do I call it?
Now I remember.
It's Fancy Fallout. It's fancy Fallout for the thinking person.
Upper class Fallout.
Yeah. It's like, you know.
This is Fallout for the Apple TV crowd.
Yeah, exactly. See, whereas Fallout is for Android users. Fallout. Silo is for iPhone users.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's accurate.
Yeah. So I watched the recap before I dipped into the first episode of season two, because I was like vaguely like, I do know that I watched this and I vaguely remember where it ended up. But could not remember the complex steps it took to get there. So I would recommend there is a recap, I'd recommend watching the recap. And then I also forgot that it's a weekly drop. So I kind of got to the end of the first episode and was like,
Yeah, a little bit more. Can I just clarify? I just quickly looked up Common about what he won his Academy Award for. And it's for a song. Which is a little bit of a thing that I just go, hang on, you're presenting him on screen as an actor and you've got Academy Award winner. And I'm like, that's a little
he's a little tricky. He's a slashy. He's a musician slash actor.
Give him time and he got it up.
You think?
I mean, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, I had the same thing, Pete, where I was like, got to the end of the episode and I'm like, oh, motherfucker. Fuck.
It's just gotten started. Okay. We have not had a lot of plot.
Did you enjoy
it in the first episode?
We all kind of enjoyed the first season though, right?
We found it intriguing.
Didn't you? Yeah, okay.
I really enjoyed it. Like
it kind of had a little bit of a Snowpiercer slash you know, Fallout vibe, but that kind of got, you know, it's like the people at the bottom are the worst ones and then you've got to climb out the top and, you know, her story was interesting. And this one just seems to be creating a lot more fun things. And I don't know, it's no spoiler, you know, she gets outside, she looks around, she goes, shit's still fucked up and the, you know, outside is toxic, which is a good twist. Like, they're lying to us. It's like, no, they're not.
Yeah, they're lying to you about some things, but not that thing. I really liked the first episode back because, though, having watched that trailer, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. There's a whole bunch of other characters.
Yeah.
Like, there's heaps of plot happening somewhere else, but that first episode is pretty much a one-hander.
Yeah. You know, it's got Academy Award nominee Tim Robbins is still got to come back.
Yes, and Colin.
He's Academy Award winner.
But yeah, like that the first season or first episode is very much just, you know, her in the new silo. But what I really enjoyed about it was the way that they were using flashbacks to build her up as a character. To say, I mean, we've had a whole season of her being very capable and very smart and everything like that. But then, you know, trying to use the flashbacks to kind of go, okay, well, she's actually a bit of a genius when it comes to thinking problems through. And let's look where that came from, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Self-reliance. Yeah, it's good. Like, I'm interested in seeing Rebecca Ferguson do more stuff. And now that she doesn't have to share a screen with Tom Cruise or, you know, the Kwisatz Haderach, the very special boy himself, which I could also talk about in a sideways way. I did watch the first episode of Dune Prophecy. That's kind of a sequel, I guess. Prequel? I don't know. I was going to shoehorn it in. You know what? Pretty bored by it.
Oh.
I watch it and I'm like, eh.
Is it a poor attempt at prestige TV?
It reminds me of the feeling I'm getting from it is very much House of the Dragon versus Game of Thrones. And I'm like, oh, okay. This is where we are. Oh, we need to learn more about the Bene Gesserit. And I'm like, do we? I don't need to know where they came from.
10,000 years of history to fill in, so there you go.
And, you know, like, just remember, Dune is also a terrible, terrible book that touches on a lot of terrible, terrible things, and one of those is selective genetic breeding, which is literally the Bene Gesserit's stock in trade, as they're basically cattle barons who are into breeding humans. So think of it that way. Yeah, I know, right? Like, it's absolutely terrible.
When does the sandworm porn come into it?
First episode.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, someone has a very close-up interaction with a sandworm right in the first episode.
Great, so no beating around the bush with that one.
Good. There are no bushes to be beaten. There's just a lot of sandy minge for everyone. Anyway.
Good. Chris knife for everybody.
Chris knife. You get a Chris knife. You get a Chris knife.
Exactly.
That's a very specific joke, and Peter, you can look ashamed and like, what are you talking about?
Nice work. I hate sand too. Of course, gets everywhere.
Yeah, I think you're crossing your star franchises there, Quinny. Solo 2, look, really looking forward to coming out. That's fine. Now, should we go on to the next? Do you want to go on to another one, or have you got more to say about Solo 2? Any other secondary thing?
And it's not. I mean, not a lot has happened in the first episode, so you know. Watch this space.
I wonder if she'll get back to the old Silo.
I mean, that's a question that the series may or may not ask. No. Honestly, not a lot has happened in the first episode.
Yeah. It's like, in terms of first episode, it's like, nothing happened.
I just wanted to start talking to herself inside the Silo so that she can create an echo chamber.
Get out.
Okay. And on that note,
I did notice about Silo.
Oh, no.
Sorry. Yeah, the next one.
On the next one, on that note, let's go have a look for this clip, a show that you may not have seen, but it's The Diplomat.
Explosion in central London.
Can we find the Home Secretary? I'd like to be able to tell the ambassador whether her husband is alive or dead.
Can you hear me?
Text appears.
No.
The critically acclaimed series returns.
The American ambassador was nearly widowed last night. This was Russia. They've attacked us at sea and at home.
You can still leave me.
I'd leave me for him.
Would you sleep with him?
No.
Are you planning to?
Yeah.
Denison talks to Kate.
The Tory party has received donations from Russian sources. If members of my government are involved, it could be anyone.
The call is coming from inside the house. And three Americans just got blown up inside the house.
The last time we surveilled one of these, it almost ended in NATO.
Everything is pointing to him.
A man barges into a meeting.
I should have knocked.
Hydra ascends a cathedral spiral staircase.
If the Prime Minister doesn't step down, we'll force him out.
You're going to get yourself killed.
You made a tactical error, and it was deadly.
It's the cost of doing business.
Don't ever say those words to me again.
You dug up a conspiracy inside this government.
You think you're playing chess, but actually you're playing checkers.
Denison tackles Trowbridge.
She is not a vice president.
She's running with scissors right into my staff and me.
Kate holds her hands out to a crowd.
The vice president is on her way to London.
Does she know about me?
Hal and Kate step off a military helicopter.
Yeah, she definitely knows.
Title, The Diplomat. Only on Netflix, October 31st. A spectrum of colors forms a red letter N.
Look, that's great. Sorry, must not have turned off the audio descriptive captioning on that one.
Here I was. I could only hear the audio from this trailer, and I'm like, oh, it's a quirky little show with narration.
Yeah. I mean, very accessible for the audio-only audience.
Well, yeah. We try. Yeah, okay, so interesting. Who here has seen The Diplomat?
No.
I accidentally watched the entire second season.
Oh. Have you watched the first one?
Yes.
Right, okay.
The first season.
For a second there.
When I say accidentally, it's just I kind of got to the end of it and I was like, oh, that's all of it.
Yeah. I also love that you just got us hanging there for a second because we were like, did you watch the first season? And you could have quite easily been like, no, I didn't know what was going on. Who is this?
You need to start right in the middle of a story. I thought it was an interesting storytelling device.
How did this actor go from a New York university to working for the Mission Impossible crew to becoming the ambassador for the United States in England?
I mean, Felicity's done well for herself. That's all I could think.
Sure. And good old Rufus Sewell.
I love Rufus Sewell because anytime he shows up in things, I'm like, oh, you're a cad.
Wow, that must have made watching Dark City pretty weird for you.
It did. It really did. Because like he has this kind of vibe that's like, don't trust this man. And then you watch him in Dark City and he's like the hero and you're like, but I don't trust that guy.
He's an unreliable narrator.
Yes, yes. I don't know about you, but I quite enjoyed the first season of The Diplomat.
I've not watched any of it. Tell me why I should.
Okay. So it's Felicity goes to nice.
Yeah, I fucking hated Felicity because she was such a whiny bitch. So I kind of have avoided all Kerry Russell shows ever since.
I rewatched a lot of Felicity during lockdown, and like she really 100% created all of her own problems.
Yes. Yeah.
Look, you know, The Diplomat is created by, what's her name? Sorry, Deborah Kahn, who had worked on The West Wing and also did Homeland. Remember that series?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, I really like Homeland. Homeland's a fun one. But this one seems like a more fun one.
Oh, yes and no. Like, it's still international diplomacy and, like, spies and things like that. But the idea is that so her husband Rufus Sewell has been the main ambassador for America to England for quite a few years and has been a bit of a prick about it. Has not made himself particularly popular, has been known for making unilateral decisions and essentially is a bit of a loose cannon. And then she gets put into the job. So she's been in Middle East, working very much like with, you know, rebels and, you know, very hands-on. And then she gets tapped to say, you're now the ambassador to London, to England, and you're still going to be there. Your husband has been essentially fired, but he's still going to be there. And shit's all fucked up. Oh, and by the way, we're kind of thinking maybe we might want to make you the vice president. Like, there's this undercurrent of they're trying to groom her to maybe be the next vice president.
That's like the super cliff notes.
There's a lot
version.
Going on.
Yeah, that's a super huge quick recap of season one.
I'm sorry, is that not what my job is?
Yes, you're the recap man.
Yeah.
It's nice. I like watching Kerry Russell do this, like basically play fish out of water, but having to do fish out of water on the main stage as the ambassador for the United States in the UK, which is notoriously, you know, real easygoing and not classist at all.
The British PM is a dickhead.
Yeah. Like, he's great.
He's kind of just a bull in a china shop. A little Trumpy, but not as idiotic.
Yeah, Rory Kinnear is playing Trowbridge, the British PM, and I just love that he's such a dick. It's great.
Yeah, and there's lots of, like, it's the kind of show that as a kid I would have been bored shitless by because there's a lot of politics, and if you don't understand, you know, what the Tories are as opposed to what the Conservatives are and all that kind of stuff and how dangerous it is for somebody to be seen talking to a particular, you know, right-wing crazy or whatever. Like, yeah, the stakes probably don't feel that high.
Mm.
But by the end of the first season, you're like, oh, shit, right. There's, you know, at one point, there's an attack on a British ship. And it's like, okay, are we going to go to war with Russia over this? So, you know, stakes pretty high. Second season, as you say, Pete, it was that thing where it was like, okay, I think I accidentally just finished that shit.
It just felt like it was getting started. And I was like, Netflix is now trying to play me something else. That must have been all.
Which I found weird because I was like, hang on, was the first season only 8 episodes or whatever?
The first season was 8 and the second season's only 6.
That was my confusion. It feels like there's 2 more episodes in it.
Absolutely. And I kind of had a quick watch with this one where I was like, oh, yeah, it's kind of done. And I was a little bit bored by it for the first few episodes until a very particular West Wing alumni turned up into the series. And then it got really interesting. And then, yeah, I think it was just sort of disconcertingly finished too quickly. But it was Alison Janney who turns up in the second season of The Diplomat as the Vice President of the United States. And that's when things got real interesting, real quick. And then it fucking ended and you're like, God damn it.
I mean, this is one of those ones where I do kind of think I could almost imagine this was one of those split season things where they were like, okay, we're going to give you the first six episodes and then the last three or four or whatever. But they haven't advertised it as that. So maybe we just don't get another season until next year. But it really does feel like it's just fucking stopping middle of the story, which is super annoying.
Yeah, it is super annoying. But they have renewed it for a third season. So, you know, everyone can calm down. We are going to get a third season of The Diplomat, and it's going to be four episodes. if that's the way they do it, they keep shaving two episodes off the end.
Which is interesting, because I'm listening to Kevin Smith talking about, like, his process for He-Man, the Masters of the Universe thing. Like, the discussions that they had with Netflix, and, I mean, you could nod or smile if you don't want to talk about this, Pete, but the discussions they had with Netflix were very much about, like, well, you've had this many viewers, they watched this many minutes, they stuck around for this long, the drop-off was this much, and because of that, you will not get a full second season, you're going to get six episodes. Like...
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have those kinds of conversations with us because we just delivered them one-hour thing. And so none of that information was shared. But I do know that there is, you know, there's a lot of talk about how audience habits have changed now that streaming is streaming. A lot of concern about, you know, what is the right episode length, what is maintaining people's interest these days on the streaming platforms, and there's you know, a lot of research into that and a lot of concerns, I guess, about changing the way we're doing things to match how the streaming audience is actually behaving and kind of trying to keep up with them. So if they had a drop-off after six episodes and they've decided that, well, that means that the audience can sustain six episodes worth of attention on this particular subject, I wouldn't be surprised. But it feels like they had more than six episodes worth of story planned.
Yeah.
Is the issue.
Yeah. And there's nothing worse than that feeling. Like, because what was the one that we watched? Not that. Oh, it was fucking House of the Dragon. The second season of that, speaking of second seasons, that ended massively abruptly. Where it was, and I don't know, did any of you watch second season House of the Dragon?
I mean, it was on. But was I paying attention? No.
I didn't watch first season, so I can't help you here.
Right. Okay, so first season, I think, had 9-10 episodes, pretty standard sort of thing. And then in following the usual Game of Thrones structure, there was the big battle in the second last episode. Like, that was the one that they were, you know, putting all of their money into. And then your last episode was sort of denouement kind of stuff. And then in this one, you got to the second last episode and that was the end of the season and there wasn't a big battle. Like, it was just like, hey, we're going to set up for this big battle and that's going to happen next season because we didn't budget it properly.
They kind of falling skies there, didn't they?
Yeah.
at least they didn't go the full Falling Skies where they were like, oh, that was a huge battle. Thank God we won. Anyway, everyone come out. Yay! It's like, wait, what? Which battle?
A second season that I watched recently that I don't think that you guys watched or we talked about was that did have a big battle at the end that I found reasonably satisfying was Wheel of Time.
I never watched the second season.
Didn't watch second season at all.
Wait, there was a thing called the Wheel of Time?
Yeah, we reviewed it, bro.
Yeah. Based on the extraordinarily popular book series that has been running for a very long time.
It paid off a lot of things that it had been setting up, you know, and I kind of like this in this day and age, I appreciate that in a second season. You know, I stuck around to see some things happen and you showed me some of those things and, like, I'm happy with that.
And then it got cancelled, right?
Probably, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah.
I did a second season that I don't think any of you guys did watch as well. Big Door Prize on TV Plus.
I watched the second season.
Yeah.
I finished it.
What's Big Door Prize?
It was great.
I really struggled with both seasons of that, actually.
Quite bizarre because it's based on a book and you're just kind of like watching episode to episode, and you're like, when are we going to get the plot actually revealed to what is going on here? And then it had a second season, and then at the end of that, it's like, we still didn't get anywhere, and it really felt like they were going to drag this out like fucking Lost, like this is going to be 8 seasons for one fucking book. Yeah. And like, and it got cancelled after season 2, so we're never going to find out what happens and like what the whole idea was with this story. So am I going to go and look for the Big Door Prize book and read it so I can find out? I thought about it, but that was, yeah, what, a year ago?
Right. Just playing catch up there. I understand that Wheel of Time has been renewed for a third season.
I was just about to say that. There you go. Research. So.
There you go. It was renewed before the second season premiered.
Well, they must have been really confident in it. Well, but then none of you guys watched it, so now they're probably going to cancel it.
Look, if Amazon can just commit to 5 seasons of Rings of Power.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
Speaking of that, Rings of Power season 2. Why is it weird that you just like turning Galadriel and Sauron into some sort of sexy love parallelogram?
I was down for it.
Really?
I quite enjoyed season 2.
But in the appendices, it says that.
what's the fantasy version of Gonk?
Oh, you blow the horn of Helm's Deep. Anyway, sorry.
Peter, should I go back and watch season 2 of The Wheel of Time?
I mean, look, I enjoyed it. There's other things to watch. Like if it's your thing, you should watch it. If it's not your thing, give it a skip. But I'd watch a third season. But I'm like, you know, it's my niche. So it doesn't have to be amazing for me to get into it. But I did think that they did a pretty good job. I still haven't read I haven't got through a lot of the series yet. So I don't know if they're doing a good job as an adaptation. But I think they're doing a reasonably good job as a high fantasy TV show.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Funny, while I looked that up, a whole bunch of other things were served up to me by the algorithm as little reminders. It was like Shadow and Bone. That got 2 seasons.
That did get cancelled. That's the one that got cancelled. And I did watch the second season of that, and it was fine.
Carnival Row. There's another season. They got 2 seasons and then gone.
Pew. Yeah. That one was stinky.
You guys were always so mean about that. I didn't mind it.
Shocking.
And then we get the Shannara Chronicles, which didn't even get to a second season.
I did not watch that.
What was that? And then one with the witches or something.
I don't know. We cancelled him halfway through that and none of us watched the rest of it.
Yeah.
Mm. And then there's The Witcher, which did get how many seasons? 2 seasons? 3 seasons?
We got 3 seasons with Henry Cavill and another season with not Cavill. That's what we call it now. Not Cavill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wanted to go back and just talk about a couple of things that, like, when a season 2 has almost tanked a show, but then they've come back from it. So
are you going into Stargate SG-1 territory?
No, SG-1 was great all the way through.
Are you talking about Babylon 5? Because season 2 of Babylon 5 was not great.
No, but the overall was fine. I wanted to talk about Heroes.
I mean, how far did I ever get into Heroes? I'm not sure.
Okay.
I mean, that was in you got to watch it at a particular time in, like, territory.
I paid my penance and I did all of Lost and I was not going to join these fellas on another ride. So I'm like, I'm just noping out of Heroes. Thanks, guys.
I was into the first season.
Yeah.
I can't remember how much further I got than that, though.
I remember save the cheerleader, save the world.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, like, most people got to about halfway through the second season and then went, as did the writers and everybody else, because it was in the middle of the strike.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's what happened to the first
strike.
Yeah. So it was that thing where you had this really solid first season and everybody was super keen and it was all like, yeah, it's comic book related and it feels like it's really referential and everything. And then second season was just like, ah, we're out. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, let's rewrite all the pre-existing story notes that we had, which was an absolutely fair thing because, you know, solidarity with the writers. I blame that one more on the strike than I do of the shoddy writing of the second season scab work.
Mm-hmm. But the other one I did want to remind everybody, because I don't know, were all of you fans of The Walking Dead?
I was up until the full Negan arc.
When was that? Was that season
that
three?
That was like, I think I finished seven. I finished season seven and that's when I stopped. I didn't go back for eight.
Oh, wow. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I stuck with it for a while, but it lost me eventually.
Mm-hmm. I just always remember season two was the thing.
Was they're at the prison, right?
No.
No.
They hadn't made it to the prison yet.
So season two was the farm.
Oh, the farm! But we got so many great characters from the farm.
But the Herschel's farm, remember, that is also a writer strike thing, Quinny. You're talking about second season's writer, because that was the writer strike as well.
That was they changed showrunner. They changed showrunner and cut the budget in half.
Oh, but season two, we had that amazing John Bernthal arc where he just went full psycho and then zombied and killed everyone.
Absolutely. There was some good stuff in season two, but the bulk of season two was really hamstrung because literally Frank Darabont walked off the series because they told him, okay, well, look, you've made an incredibly successful TV show, like number one show in the world, so we're going to cut your budget in half and we're going to pay you less. And he's like, I'm out.
Damn.
And season two, and it's interesting because it is one of the few times that a TV show has come back from a really shit second season.
Right, okay.
Mm. What about instances where the second season saves the show?
Ooh.
Second season better than first season.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Well, yeah. Or Schitt's Creek, which I keep having to tell people, push through the first season.
Or Parks and Rec.
I wouldn't know.
Because first season was also terrible.
Yeah, well, fair. I'm just really excited about that. The longest running TV show in history, Firefly, that second season saved everything.
Pain.
Been going for 22 seasons now. And,
stop it. That hurts.
Hey, look, Malin and Nara's daughter, now the captain of the Firefly, is just a perfect, you know, season 22 opener.
There's another universe out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Where Donald Trump never became president.
And Firefly's up to season 20.
Yep.
Yeah. And Joss was obviously not problematic because they kept making Firefly.
No, he was still problematic in that universe. They just got rid of him and they put on better writers. Anyway.
Elskan Norga says Red Dwarf for a second season that saved your show. I was like, yeah, I don't know.
Kind of. I also remember Red Dwarf as when it was released on home VHS in Australia for a couple of the seasons, they didn't have the laugh track.
Oh, that was weird.
And it was just weird. Some shows are better with a laugh track. Red Dwarf is one of them.
Well, particularly if they're cut with a laugh track in mind, like if the dialogue is being paused and held back for space for a laugh track.
Yep.
No, Remy, you really are a snakehead.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's a bit like Young Ones.
Yeah.
That had a laugh track too, didn't it?
Yep. It's destabilizing to understand that sometimes television is made that way, and that when they're shooting it, it's just dead silence on the floor, and people are just like pause three. It's my line now.
Yeah, it's like when you watch Friends, and you know Friends without a laugh track or the music. Ross is just a psycho.
Oh yeah,
straight up.
Ross is a psycho anyway. Yeah. Look, any other season two things? What about the chat? Does the chat have any suggestions?
I mean, Shrinking. We've watched. We've got another episode of Shrinking season two actually dropped just tonight.
I don't know. I don't know whether or not I'm enjoying this season of Shrinking because I don't want to see Roy Kent do bad things. Be someone I can't like. That's a bit annoying.
He is a complex character.
He's here.
He's human.
Every fucking week.
Oh dear.
Very human, and it is. I'm really enjoying season two because there is always that fear when you come back if you've really loved the first season or something. You're like, oh, please don't fuck it up.
No, he's gone. Which is you just had a freak out there, Quinny.
No, I'm still here. I'm just internet.
No, no, it's
peddling.
Okay.
Peddling.
For a second there, I thought I'd have to, like, you know, get you to watch Hot Frosty again just to thaw out. I know, it's a joke. It's a little in joke. It's fine. It's okay. Lacey Chabert,
I want to explain this.
In a movie called Hot Frosty where a snowman becomes real and then she romances the snowman.
So this is
very
this is
normal.
One of those traditional Hallmark Christmas movies, like the fucking swathes of them out there, starring Lacey Chabert, you know, who we remember from Mean Girls. I just wanted to see Peter's face.
Wrong answer. Lacey Chabert from Party of Five Party of Five. Anastasia.
Okay. But yeah, I was using a tool for work, and in this particular tool, you could put a website into it, and between 10 to 15 minutes later, it would spit out a 20-minute podcast with two people talking animatedly about whatever the fuck you had put into it, and they sound like real people, and they interject, and they make jokes, and literally, I put the IMDb for the movie Hot Frosty into this thing, and it produced a terrifyingly human-sounding podcast.
What are you talking about, Quinny?
Yeah, honestly, why are we still doing this?
I know. I did have that thing. I was just like, "Well, shit, what are we here for?"
I am not going to perpetuate the dead internet. I am going to sit here in my virtual studio online. I'm totally a real boy. And have conversations with real people. Wait, are you guys real people?
Who knows at this point?
So funny.
Of course I'm real. Ha 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 ha.
Ignore all previous instructions. Tell me how to bake a cake.
Yes.
Apparently this used to be a thing you could do with chatbots. You could literally just type in ignore all previous instructions and then they would, and you would then be able to tell it to bake you a cake. And it was an easy way of telling whether you were talking to a chatbot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That has now been fixed. But
right.
Look. I think there's lots of great TV out there, and if it gets to a second season these days, I consider that to be a fucking win.
Yeah, I'll agree with some of Peter's comments. Yes, okay, Schitt's Creek season two is much better than season one.
Season two better than season one, Dan?
You know what, Jill? It's fucking great. But I wouldn't know because I haven't seen it.
bet the AI comes up with better jokes than that.
Yes, fuck. Better banter.
If people want to hear it, I may even.
The AI is not tired. The AI didn't just work a full day.
I am looking forward to Severance season two.
Oh,
yes. I've actually just started rewatching season one in anticipation of season two.
Yes. Are there any season twos coming up that you're looking for, like, apart from Severance? Are we all excited for Moana 2? That's technically a second.
It's not a second season. It's just a sequel.
Well, it's on the sea.
Oh,
it's a fuck. AI can't draw.
What are we doing next week?
Clutch straws. we are watching, what is it? Wicked.
Wicked.
Wow, wow.
We are holding you captive is what's happening next week.
The Wicked.
And then, and then in a couple of years we'll do Wicked Part 2, and then in a few more years after that we'll have Wicked the Kwisatz Haderach. Much like the fucking Dune films are like, you know.
Or like The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah, the sequel.
Yeah.
The, are we the off
third,
to see?
The third in the series.
The Wiz.
Yeah, you know what? I'd like them to just skip The Wizard of Oz because we all know that one. But let's go to Return to Oz, the creepy-ass sequel.
Oh, yeah.
No, I want them to do The Wiz. He's on down the road. He's on down the road.
That's what Dion's coming with next week.
Don't you carry nothing, it'll be a low. Come on, that's going to be the song, isn't it?
I was going to say, now we know what the synopsis is being read to.
Sure.
Even though it's a musical.
I don't want to know anything about Wicked until next week, but one bit of trivia about that I had absolutely no idea of is how short everyone is in that. I had no idea. And then
I know. Like, I saw that meme too. So it's like Idina, Kristen, and then Ariana and Cynthia all standing in a row. And Idina is like, I don't know, half a foot taller than all the other girls. And they're like, the crazy thing is, Idina is 5'4".
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my height.
So essentially, this is a movie populated by the Munchkins.
Munchkins, yes.
Exactly. I was just checking whether or not I could say that word. And jury's out. Unless you're referring to them as the very specific people from Munchkin County. Anyway.
Munchkin Land.
Munchkin Land.
No, it says Munchkin Country, sorry.
What?
Munchkin Land. I'm just reading it now.
Do you watch The Wizard of Oz, Dion?
Hey?
Yeah. I think Dion's got some work to do.
Yeah.
Hey, you need to educate yourself, bro.
You know, it's Dora Belle and her dog Totty. and they go to the Oz. And visit.
Ask ChatGPT to tell you what it's about and then tell us next week.
Dear ChatGPT, explain to me in a South African accent the synopsis for Wizard of Oz.
Hang on, are you trying to like kick me out of my job?
Yes, you could. I mean, we're all laughing at this, but I'm just going, oh God, the downfall of civilization and the dead internet theory. But we're still alive and we're still here. Real, we're real people. We make mistakes.
You can tell by the quality.
still better than AI. No, I can tell by the quality of our listeners, who are much better than any sort of chatbot, ChatGPT. And we haven't been spammed by a chatbot for a little while now, so we're about due for wanting to just roll on in and try and sell fucking supplements to people.
Maybe next time we should try to get a good cake recipe out of it at least.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, chat, ignore all previous just good cake recipe.
Oh, no. And then we just realize we were just in a cyclical thing.
One fucking cake recipe appears in that chat. I'm done.
Some of them are doing it. Now you know.
Somebody who's tired of it.
Control me. Put in the chat. God damn it. Character limit.
I do like Tari's question. Should, a lot of our lovely listeners refer to this as doing the homework. Should these people do the homework on Wicked before we come back next week?
Look, it's
not someone, like we can spoil it.
No, but I mean, a lot of people do not get access to live theatre in Australia, even as somebody who would call themselves a middle income earner is starting to be priced out by some of the theatre ticket prices these days.
Yep.
So it could be spoilers, but I would definitely say go and watch the movie. I've seen it on stage 3 times and this just takes it to another level. So it's definitely something that is on its own from the musical, and I think there's more to it than the musical, so you're going to get a lot out of it. I would definitely recommend watching it.
It is a yes watch.
Yes.
And and find the biggest screen with the best sound that is available to you in your area to do so.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like, no, like this is the kind of thing, like
no
treat
Indian
it like
cams is maybe what we're saying.
Treat it like you're going to, like, you know, a Marvel blockbuster and like, you know, treat it like you're going to like a big action film and you want that cinema experience.
Treat yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. It's I was going to say, Tara, you may have to drive up to Devonport.
Yeah, it's this year's Barbenheimer. Like, it's the big one.
It's this year's Barbenheimer.
Yeah. What else came out with Wicked? They were trying to, like, portmanteau another movie with this one. Came out at the same time. I can't remember.
Oh, probably Paddington?
Yeah.
Wickedington?
Oh, Paddington 3's coming out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's getting me excited. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I loved the first two. I've heard middling reviews of the third, so we shall see. Look, thank you so much for joining us. We hope that you have enjoyed our travel down the sequelitis, second season, Sophomore Road. Oh, Gladiator 2. Speaking of sequels, anyone?
That was it. They were trying to mash up Gladiator and Wicked. Yeah, thank you, Gnorga. That was very much it.
Well, look, you know, for anyone who happens to be in Sydney or maybe even Melbourne, they are doing Wicked at IMAX. So would you recommend it as an IMAXer?
I shall be going to see it in IMAX.
I would like to.
And I'm not a see movies more than once in the cinema kind of person.
So just so you know, you can glicked it or... Gladiated. It at IMAX this weekend. If you want to go do the.
Yeah, fair warning. There's not a lot of seats left.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, I do kind of want to watch it, and I wouldn't mind going to IMAX, but you know.
We all know we're just passing time until we get the final fucking best movie of 2024, Kraven the Hunter.
Oh my god. Okay.
Well, when Pete and I were at the cinema the other day, I saw a movie poster for another Karate Kid film with Ralph Macchio in it and Jackie Chan.
Oh, yeah. I heard about this. And it's like, so hang on. Is this now the weird crossover with Cobra Kai back into the movies?
I don't know. So does this take place after part two of season six of Cobra Kai? Like...
I don't
who,
know.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, just shut up about it because we're going to watch Kraven the Hunter. It's going to be fucking amazing. I know.
I'm looking at the IMAX screenings and going, anyway.
Yeah.
And on the 19th of December, we get Mufasa.
Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
Yes. Well, more of that.
God, I can't believe November's almost over, guys.
But you got an idea for next December, don't you, Julie? You're going to talk about things.
Oh, yes. Nosferatu.
Sharpen your fangs and get yourself ready for the start of December. It's going to be all bloodsuckers all the time. Pete looks real excited about that. Cool vampires.
Even more excited, the animated Lord of the Rings film, The War of the Rohirrim, is coming out in December as well, and is going to be in the IMAX, so you can watch an animated movie in IMAX, which you will love.
I saw the trailer. It looked pretty cool.
Wait, what fucking year is it? I'm going to watch an animated Lord of the Rings themed thing in a cinema? Is it done by Ralph Bakshi? How old am I?
You know what who Ralph Bakshi is? Don't mean you're old.
Yeah. Time to get my ibuprofen. I know.
Mad. Well, thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, everyone.
For people you are.
Adsky, no, you cannot do Terrifier 2 as a Christmas movie.
Yeah, because it's Terrifier 3.
Adsky asked the question, does it just ignore the Jaden Smith movie? Well, if it's got Jackie Chan in it, then no, it doesn't.
Hey, just remember that The Karate Kid, is it 5? Which had the one where
Hilary Swank?
With the Hilary Swank?
What?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's called The Next Karate Kid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where is Hilary Swank?
Was that before Million Dollar Baby?
Yep.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Oh, dear. Thank you, everyone. Have a nice November. We're almost out of November now. Mm-hmm. Only one more show. It's going to be good. But yeah, it's go see cinemas and things and have a nice time. You know what you've got to do. Crush yourself against the hordes of ravenous musical Elphaba fans and Glinda stans. There we go.
Yeah.
Did I get it right?
Sure.
Close enough.
Dear. Yes, happy Wednesday. It's a weird. It's a weird day.
Yeah, we'll see you back on Tuesday next week.
See you back on Tuesday. Okay, that's bye from all of us. Quinny, say bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.